And we return 34 minutes past 1 o'clock. It's today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you on this Thursday afternoon. Well, our weekly food and dining extravaganza is now underway. I'm joined by Miami Herald wine columnist Fred Tasker. Host and producer Linda Gastenheimer is here, of course. Fred gives the wine suggestions for Linda's Dinner in Minutes column, as well as ideas for her many books. Fred, I suppose spicy Indian cuisine can be a little challenge for wine selections.
It can, but boy, it's worth it because it's good stuff.
Well, we have in the studio the star of our program, Linda Gastenheimer, host and producer Linda Gastenheimer. I'm sorry I blew your open so badly. I saw you wincing through there.
That's all right. Did you get the dinner in minutes straight, though?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
That's dinnerinminutes.com.
All righty. Joe, you know, I love Indian food, and it's becoming really popular these days. But that's great because now I can find the spices in my local market rather than having to go to a specialty food store. So I invited our guest today to give us some tips on making Indian recipes at home. She's Aisha DeMello, and she gives cooking classes and she caters. So welcome, Aisha.
Thanks, Linda. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Well, it's a pleasure for us because once more,
yes, it is.
Boy,
what a table. What a spread there.
Fabulous food, and I see people already going after it out there. Well, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any questions? Do you like Indian food? Have you tried cooking at home? Give us a call with your questions or maybe your suggestions. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-9576. WLRN.
And email, that's radio@wlrn.org.
Right. Okay, Aisha, you have an MBA in computer science. Very impressive. And you've worked in Silicon Valley. So how did you come to teaching Indian cooking?
Well, when we moved to Miami about 4 years ago, my husband and I decided that I would stay home and be with the kids. And knowing the way I am, I kind of started to enjoy it, but then thought, God, I really want to do something. And suddenly I realized my passion, not just to cook Indian food, but to teach others how to cook.
Well, so, and you certainly have been doing that with some great food. So, you know, Indian cooking seems to be very complicated. So first tell us, what's the most well-known dishes?
Well, the most well-known, if you're looking at appetizers, are pakoras, which are basically dipped in chickpea batter and deep-fried, and it's served with some condiments such as tamarind chutney, mint chutney. You also have tandoori chicken, which is served as an appetizer well. You look at chicken tikka masala, butter chicken. That goes in the main course on the non-vegetarian side. The vegetarian, you've got palak paneer, which is spinach with Indian cheese. You have chole, which is garbanzo beans in a very aromatic sauce.
So all of these names sound, you know, so foreign to us. Let's break it down a little bit. What was the last vegetarian one you were talking about?
I talked about chole. Chole is basically garbanzo beans, chickpeas, which are cooked and simmered in a very aromatic spice sauce. It's got ginger, garlic, onions,
And the other
paste.
One that with the
other
tofu
one is,
and the green
yeah,
sauce?
The palak paneer. Palak paneer is, palak is spinach. Paneer is the Indian cheese, homemade Indian cheese.
Okay.
And so it's a blend of the two with very mild spices.
I gather that a lot of the things you have brought here were kind of mildly spicy, but you can turn it up if you want to, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Is that a goat cheese or?
It's basically with any milk that you desire to make it with. It's very similar to tofu. And the process of making tofu, where you, with the milk, you curdle the milk and you tie it in a cheesecloth and let it drain out and for about 2 hours, and you cut them in cubes, and that's your cheese. So you could use any milk.
So then let's go back to, Fred was talking about the hot spices and all, because as everyone knows, I don't like things really hot spicy. Is all Indian food really hot spicy?
Not at all. It all depends on what region you come from. Indian food is very diverse, very exotic, very magical. Depending on where you come from, you could get it spicy or you could get it very mild. Typically, if you're from the northern part of India, your foods tend to be very creamy, rich, dairy intensive. You also have a lot of nut-based curries that are prepared. And then if you go to the southern part of India, you have a lot of fiery hot chilies, rice and fish being your main meal. So it all depends where you come from.
I never did understand that. It seems like the farther south you go and the hotter the weather, the spicier the food. It seems like it would, I don't know, kill you.
Well, if you go up to the northern part, for example, it does get very cold. And so you tend to want to eat the fattier foods to keep you warm.
All right. Well, let's go to our phones. We have a few calls here. Wendy in Miami. Hello, Wendy. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
I've recently been cooking healthy and trying to use different spices and flavors to make it interesting. And I made a chicken curry the other day with couscous. And I used a Jamaican yellow curry powder. But it sort of was bland. I was looking for more of a kick, more of a spice to
Wendy, while you're talking and talking about the Jamaican curry powder, she made a bad face.
Oh, really?
I should tell her what she should have bought.
Well, I think when you really eat a good Indian curry, you will not go to Jamaican curry just because of what you're looking for. What you're looking for is the kick. With mm-hmm. Indian curries, what you need to put in, with the Jamaican curries, what I find is it's more turmeric based. So you're getting more of the turmeric flavor than anything else. With the Indian curries, you're looking at the cinnamon, cardamom, cloves, black pepper, chili powder, coriander, cumin, you know, and those are your main spices. In addition to that, you want to put in your onions, ginger, garlic. And then depending on what sour ingredient you want, it could be tomato based, it could be vinegar, it could be sour lime. So all of these ingredients together will make up a delicious curry.
So when she's in the store and she's not going to, if she's just not going to mix her own spices, what does she look for on the bottle?
On the bottle. No, you don't want to look for anything. You don't want the ready pre-mixed powders. You want to do it yourself. Oh. So you want to buy your cinnamon, cardamom, cloves, black pepper separately. You want to buy your coriander powder. Don't buy the coriander powder. I take that back. You want to buy your coriander seeds and the cumin seeds. You grind that in a coffee grinder.
Because there's good recipes online.
Yes, yes.
For making. Does that help you, Wendy?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to Carlos. Carlos and Coral Gables. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi there. I've recently begun cooking a lot of Indian food at home after my fiancé came back from a long trip throughout India, and I just had one request for her, and that was to bring me a masala dabba, which is a beautiful round tin which contained cups for spices and a little spoon, and the spices that I asked for were fenugreek, cardamom, garam masala, mustard seed, and things that I could probably find here, but I thought would be so much more special if they were authentically from India. And what I've learned in using it is that basically you can make a curry out of anything, and it's more of a formula. The word curry and the practice is more of a formula. I like to fry up my spices in the oil and to scent the oil with those delicious flavors of India, and then basically add to that some meat. And I like to use coconut milk as right. the base in okay. mine, but it's just opened up a whole world of variety. I think we often tend to get stuck in a rut.
Carlos, tell me something. Where are you buying your spices? You're in Coral Gables, so where are you buying your spices here?
Well, the Fresh Market has bins of bulk spices. Thankfully, she only got back a few months ago, my fiance, and she brought me a lot of spices. Some things are running out, and some things are hard to find. For instance, dried ground mango, ground green mango, which I'd never seen before, and it's this lovely tart powder. Perhaps Aisha can comment about it, but I also wanted to add that I've done something that before I thought could only be done at an Indian restaurant, and that's make good naan. There's a really good recipe online for it. You just do a search on Google for naan recipe, and you get this really nice recipe for an elastic dough, and I've made it right on the stovetop in a frying pan, and it's just as good as the naan that I've had at most restaurants.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carlos, for all that information. We have a lot of people who want to get on, so thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Right. Joe, you had an email?
Yes, this is from Amanda in North Miami Beach. She says, I love Indian food. I'm a regular at Royal India on Griffin Road. My question is, the recipe book I have, which is years old and British, often uses ghee. What would be an alternative? Is that the correct pronunciation? Yeah.
That's correct. Ghee is nothing more than clarified butter. But just again, like we say, there's no substitute for butter. There is no substitute for ghee. So when it calls for ghee, you really want to use ghee.
Can you buy ghee, or do you?
You can buy ghee, but I teach in my class. I tell everybody that comes to my class to make your own ghee because it is so much better to do it fresh. All you do is take unsalted butter and cook it for about 20 minutes. If you take a pound of butter, cook it for about 20 minutes till you see the brown sediments at the bottom. Take it off, cool it, and strain it with your regular tea strainer, and that's your ghee.
So you can't use the butter replacement business.
Right, and the reason you do ghee, and the reason is clarified butter, is so it takes the heat better. If you did butter, it would not take the heat as much as ghee would take.
Right. Well, that's terrific. Thank you so much. There, someone has called in and made a suggestion, said there's an Indian market on Miller Road by the University of Miami. So that may help some people. I think we have time for just one more call.
Which one?
Joe, line 5, Jeremy in Weston. Hi, Jeremy. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon. Just interested in something. First of all, I'd like to know where your class is. And secondly, making pakora, can that's something that can be done at home?
Absolutely. To know more about my classes, you can go to my website, which is www.ayeshaskitchen.com. It's Aisha's Kitchen. You could even Google Indian cooking in Miami, and I will come up, and you will get to see the schedule on my website.
Oh, cool.
And for pakoras, you could do that at home. I have one of my menus that I teach. I actually teach you how to do onion pakoras with the green chutney. It is simply delicious.
Perfect.
And now I tell you, it is definitely delicious because we've been eating it here all morning. Jeremy, thank you for your call.
You're welcome, Nikki.
Okay, well, we'll take a short break here. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking about Indian cuisine with Aisha DeMello. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking about Indian cuisine with cooking teacher and caterer, Aisha DeMello. She's been explaining the intricacies of this intriguing cuisine and giving us some tips on how we can create some Indian meals at home. And before we go any further, I just want to talk about, here's a note of interest, the Miami International Wine Fair returns this weekend at September 26th and 27th. It's their 8th edition, and it's be held at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Now, Fred, this is your happy day because there are 500 producers and 1,500 wines to taste.
That's a lot of wine.
It's a lot of wine. But the nice part is that the proceeds from the admissions will benefit Educate Tomorrow. That's a Florida-based organization that supports 16 to 18-year-olds who are aging out of the foster care system. So go to MiamiWineFair.com for more information. Well, let's go back to Aisha. She's been telling us all about this. And we've had Gabriella, who's been waiting to get on air. Hello, Gabriella. You're in West Palm Beach. Hello.
Yes, hello. My husband is Indian, and he cooks Indian food every other day. So my questions are not about how to cook, but how to eat Indian food. I want to know if you have a tip on how to be able to eat hotter, spicier food, because that's something that's very hard for me. Even my six-year-old eats hotter food than me. Any tip?
So let me just clarify. You're asking how to eat hotter food?
Yes.
Well, you'd want to prepare
to become accustomed to it, I suppose.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, how to get accustomed to eating hotter food.
Exactly.
I would actually eat it with some yogurt, for example, because that will tone the hot food down a little. But at the same time, you're eating hotter food. And slow but sure, you can start to reduce the milder foods by, you know, trying to eat the hotter foods and eventually get to it. Personally, for me, I have gone the other way around. I've started to eat more milder foods than hotter foods just because I taste the food better when it's milder. When it's too hot, I tend to drink a lot of water and not get the taste of the hot food.
Yeah.
Okay, does that help you, Kevin?
Thank you, yes. And I'll use that when I go to India in a couple of months. Thank you.
A lot of yogurt. or rice. But
rice would help too.
But not really water. Water just sort of...
It washes it away, basically. It doesn't help as much.
It kind of spreads it around your palate. Then.
Right.
Okay, well, talking about a little bit milder food, I have a dinner in minutes. And, you know, talking about this Indian food, you may be craving some food, but maybe you want curry in a hurry. How about that?
Curry in a hurry. She's a poet and don't know it.
There you go. this is a quick curry dinner, and it doesn't need a lot of extra ingredients. And it's curry-crusted scallops with rice and carrots. So most scallops you buy are frozen. And so instead of buying the defrosted scallops that are in the fish case, just buy a whole bag of frozen scallops. Keep it in your freezer. And then they'll defrost in about 5 minutes. Just put them in a bowl of water in the sink, and it doesn't take any time to defrost. So they'll be ready for you to at that point. Then I just put some curry powder. Now, I already discussed this with Aisha ahead of time. She's allowing me to have good curry powder as long as it's fresh when I buy it in the market. It loses its potency very quickly, so if it's more than 3-4 months old, forget it.
You didn't make your own in 15 minutes?
No.
I could tell.
Yeah, I'm sure you could, Joe.
But she said she liked it when she tasted it.
Yes, it was delicious.
There you go. All right, so... I don't know how I put up good. With you guys. So anyway, you just coat, you dip the scallops in the curry powder, and then saute them about 3 minutes per side on in some olive oil. Then I remove the scallops, and then into the skillet I put a little bit of apricot jam, and I melt that with water, and some cream. And that's all. I pour it over, and I put some scallions on top. That couldn't be easier, quick and easy, and it's... very tasty. And then as a side dish, I had some rice. And as you all know, I boil my rice like pasta. So a big pot of water, put the rice
in. So you strain the rice out.
And you strain it out, right. So about 8 minutes boiling, put in some shredded carrots that come already shredded in the market. And then 2 minutes later, drain, olive oil, salt and pepper. That's it. Really simple. You can see the photograph and the recipe at my website, dinnerinminutes.com. Now, Fred, what are we going to drink today?
Well, what would you drink with Indian food? Indian wine, of course.
Okay, there you go.
Why not? Of course, you can't buy it around here in South Florida, but you can learn from it. I went on the web and came across some very interesting information about this. Of course, for film buffs, India has Bollywood, and for wine buffs, it has Napa Valley of sorts. Actually, there's an area up in the mountains north of Mumbai that has enough altitude to get the cool weather that you need for making wine. And I've talked to some young winemakers in California who have spent a couple of years there making champagne, and they say that it's getting to be pretty good. The biggest and people say best winery in India is called Chateau Indage, I-N-D-A-G-E. And it's up in the mountains like that. And on the website, I saw tasting notes from an Indian wine blogger. It's pretty interesting to go and read what bloggers have to say about these wines. And he said that Chateau Indage's Ivy Brut, which is a sparkling wine made of Chardonnay and Chenin Blanc, is very creamy and went just splendidly with tandoori prawns. So you get the wine food matches there, just like we would here. And he said that Chateau Indage's Shiraz was a nice match with a mutton shish kebab called Burra Kebab. So we can learn from that here. If you go to an Indian restaurant and you have prawns tandoori, you could get a good Chardonnay-based sparkling wine. Or if you were having a red meat Indian kebab, you could get an Australian Shiraz to go with it. So if anybody comes across some Indian wine around here, please let me know because I'd love to try it. Now, Aisha, you said that in the real country of India, not a whole lot of people drink wine. And what do they drink with dinner?
Well, typically you have something called lassi. Lassi is a yogurt-based drink. It's either sweet or it's salty. Salty is what you have during the meal. Sweet is what you have after the meal. So generally that is what is drunk. Of course, after a meal, you also have masala chai, which is another beverage that's consumed in India.
Well, that's tea.
That's tea. And masala is really spice, right? It's a blend of spices. So you could have, you know, for example, ginger is a great, you know, ginger tea, which helps you with colds and has a great flavor. You could also have cardamom tea. So, or you could have a blend of different spices you combine together in your teapot to make it a masala chai.
So these are all non-alcoholic drinks.
Non-alcoholic drinks.
But I gather they do make some pretty good beer in India,
Well,
too.
They do. The most popular brand is Kingfisher. Kingfisher is something that is drunk a lot in India. And beer goes very well with Indian food.
Spicy food and beer is a good combination.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It can get beyond wine sometimes.
True.
Okay. Well, let's go to, we have time for just a quick call. Al in Miami. Hello, Al. We only have a minute left. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Well, I'm from Coconut Grove, and I just wanted to let you know that there's going to be a new Indian restaurant opening up in Coconut Grove at the location where Anoka used to be by the name of Bombay Darbar. And it is going to be run by a friend of mine who used to run Ajanta in Berkeley and also a chef from... Atlanta. So
okay,
that's going to
be
coming up.
We've got to run.
Yeah, it's going to be coming up soon.
Thank you very much for that.
Bye.
Well, so, and we've had really a lot of interest in Indian cooking. I said it was becoming more popular, and obviously it is. So tell us one more time now, Aisha DeMello, how can people go to your cooking class?
Well, they can go visit my website at www.aishaskitchen, all one word, AYESHASKITCHEN.com.
Or just if they didn't get all of that, what can they do? Well, can they Google?
Sure, they could Google my name, just my name, AYESHA, Aisha's Cooking, or just Google Indian Cooking in Miami.
Okay, great. Well, it's been a very, very tasty week. Aisha DeMello, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And for your delicious food, her classes are a treat. I know I've been to them. So, Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Great lunch, too.
Mm-hmm. Boy, Joe Plenty Cooper, you ate very well today.
Yes.
Yes, happy day. Well, next week we'll be talking with A.J. Minderman on how to change your career and start a new business. A lot of people looking for ways to change their careers these days. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.